The Lord is kind and merciful. Dear friends, as we continue along our Lenten journey, the Word of God today reminds us about what Lent is all about. That it's about turning our hearts back to the Lord, who is rich in mercy. The Lord is kind and merciful. This whole season is focused on this theme of turning from our sins with the help of God's grace and turning our hearts to Jesus, who is rich in mercy. Our first reading retells that famous story of God revealing to Moses in the burning bush on Mount Horeb. Where are the people of Israel? The people of Israel are still in Egypt, having been in slavery for many years. It is in this moment that God tells Moses that he promises to save his people. God says, "I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians and lead them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." In this moment, God promises to set the Israelites free from slavery so that they might enter the promised land where they will be able to worship the one true God. Friends, this is one of the many cases in which we see how the New Testament is foreshadowed in the Old. In other words, the things that we read in the Old Testament, they point forward and they tell us something about Jesus that we find in the New. Take this for instance. Just as God promises to set the Israelites free. Free from what? From slavery and from the rule of Pharaoh. God has also promised through Jesus to set us free from what? A different kind of slavery. Slavery to sin. And a different kind of rule. The power of Satan. Just as God, what does he do? He leads the people of Israel. How does he lead them into freedom? He leads them into freedom through the parting of the waters in the Red Sea. And how does God lead us to freedom and grace? Through the waters of baptism. Setting Israel free from slavery is the great symbol of what God wants to do, what he wants to do in each and every one of our lives. This is why we renew, this is why Lent is all about preparing to renew our baptismal promises at Easter. And it's also why we baptize catechumens at the Easter Vigil, is because baptism makes us no longer slaves. It sets us free. Sets us free with God's grace and mercy. Listen to the words of the responsorial psalm that we heard just a moment ago. He pardons all your iniquities, heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with kindness and compassion. Friends, this is what the Lord wants to do in our lives. Reading the Word of God, especially the Gospels, one will notice that this is something that Jesus is doing all the time. He's absolving people from their sins. He's showering his mercy on those who repent, those who undergo a conversion of heart. And Jesus expresses this desire again in today's Gospel. The disciples ask Jesus if those people who suffer death did so because they were great sinners. And our Lord turns the table on them and responds, "By no means." He says, But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will perish as they did. He tells this to his disciples twice. Because our Lord loves them. Because our Lord loves them and desires their salvation, he warns them of the need to repent. He warns them of the not necessarily fearing death, but fearing spiritual death. He wants to talk to them about the seriousness of sin, specifically unrepentant mortal sin, like those sins that grave sin that we that sometimes are not sorry for. It's because that it's that unrepentant, the sins that we don't bring to God, the sins that we don't ask for forgiveness, that leads to spiritual death and eventually hell. But it's because our Lord also desires our salvation. It's because he loves us and because he knew that we would sin after baptism, he gives us a way back to him. And that's what's incredibly important for us to remember. It's incredibly important for us to remember that whatever we've done in our lives, whatever our past sins may be, whatever our situation in life is, there's always a way back to God. Always a way back to God. That's what's important for us to remember. And that's why he gave us the great gift of confession as a way back to him. So friends, this Lent, let us be sure that every one of us makes a good confession of our sins. Because it's there in the sacrament of confession that our Lord waits for us in the sacrament of his mercy. Because, you know, the beautiful thing is that he knew. The awesome thing about being Catholic is that he knew that we needed confession, right? He knew that we had a human need for confession. And this is for two reasons. The first is that we have a natural need to confess our sins. I think I brought up the example one time that, you know, like one time when I was little, I broke the window of my mom's living room, mom and dad's living room, by playing baseball, but I was inside the house, right? So, I know, bad story, but anyway. So, I'm a little kid, right? And you break something, like breaking the window, right? So a little kid, you know, especially if no one sees it happen, kids have a natural desire like, oh my gosh, I got to go tell someone, right? But if they hide it, notice, if they hide it from their parents for a while, it's going to eventually come out, right? Give it a few hours, give it a few days, like, and no one finds out. There comes to a point where they just blurt it out, I did this, I broke the window, right? Because there's this natural need to get it out, get it off our chest, off our shoulders, right? There's this natural need to confess. And our Lord understands that. That's one of the reasons he gives us the sacrament of confession. He knows that as humans, we need this ability to get this, you know, to clean the car out, right? To get it off our chest. But the second reason that he gives us this beautiful sacrament is that he knew that we needed to hear that I'm forgiven. And this is something that sets us apart from our non-Catholic brothers and sisters, right? That in that moment that we hear, when we hear those words, I absolve you from your sins. I know with certainty, that my sins are no more. That my sins are no more. So this is something that also separates us just a little, excuse the little theology in here, but this is something that really does set us apart from Protestants, okay, is that traditional Protestant theology, talking like Luther and John Calvin, says that we remain sinners and that our sins remain even after forgiveness. Okay, we do not believe that. Okay, we do not believe that. It's a very Catholic teaching. It comes straight out of Scripture that when we receive the forgiveness of our sins are no more. They're no more. They're completely forgiven, but also completely forgotten. I want to share with you, I've been reading this book for spiritual reading. There's a lot of priests reading it. It's called In Sino Jesu. It's Latin. It's written in English, but the title's in Latin. The title means at the side of Christ or on the breast of Christ. And it's a reference to St. John, the beloved disciple. St. John is the one who laid his head on the side of the Lord at the Last Supper. But what this is, a few years back, for about 10 years, there was a Benedictine monk, a priest, who for 10 years our Lord spoke to him. Now, this is one of those things where, you know, as Catholics, you know, we can take it or leave it. It's private revelation, okay? So it's not like reading the Word of God. It's not like reading the very words of Scripture, understood. So a Catholic can pick this up and, you know, take it or leave it. We don't have to believe every word, okay? Because it's simply private revelation. But this is what our Lord told, apparently, take it for what it is. This is what our Lord told this priest. And I just want to read you one paragraph. Because it's really beautiful about what happens when we bring our sins to our Lord in confession. Our Lord said on February the 13th, 2009, to this priest. He says, "Of the sins cast into the fire of my heart, nothing remains. They are completely annihilated, reduced not to ashes, but utterly destroyed and forgotten. Love makes me do this. When a soul laden with sin, even with sins against my divine person, blasphemy, sacrilege, revilement, comes to me with a repentant and broken heart, my love envelops that soul and purifies her in my blood." Because one of the things that we sometimes, one of our temptations, is we bring our sins to confession, but we don't also forgive ourselves. We think that somehow that, yeah, even though I heard those words, I absolve you. Sometimes we doubt, am I really forgiven? Friends, that's from the evil one. That to cast that seed of doubt that I might not be forgiven. Our Lord wants us to know, and what he tells this priest so often in this book, he tells him, he says, "Trust in my merciful love." Understand, all those three, basically those three words, trust in God's merciful love. Trust in God's merciful love. So trust that he has not only forgiven your sins, but he's also forgetting them, right? They're no more. They don't even exist, even in the mind of God, right? So if God has forgiven our sins and forgotten our sins, we also can forget our sins. Put them behind us and never go back to them. But he says to trust in his merciful love, right? What are we trusting in? We're trusting in the way that God loves us. The way that God loves us is by having mercy upon us. And that's one of the ways that we allow God to love us. You know, we talk all about like how we should love God. Absolutely. We need to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and being, right? And the Ten Commandments gives us kind of the bare minimum, the starting point of what it means to love God. But so many times we forget to realize, and we forget to think about how we also need to receive the love of God. How we also are, we are meant to be loved by God. Mother Teresa, in all of her chapels of the Missionaries of Charity, her sisters, she has a big crucifix. Usually it's a real nice and lifelike crucifix. And she has the words next to the corpus, next to the body of Jesus. She has the words in all chapels. She has the sisters put the words, "I thirst. I thirst." And it's important to realize that Jesus, that's one of the last words that Jesus spoke from the cross, "I thirst." But it wasn't just, he was probably physically thirsty, absolutely. His tongue was parched. But he also meant, in a much deeper and more profound way, what was he thirsting for? When he said the words, "I thirst," he was saying that he thirsts for us. That he thirsts for souls. And one of the ways that our Lord's thirst is quenched, one of the ways that we can help our Lord, is by receiving his mercy in the sacrament of confession in Lent. That's a way that we quench the thirst of Jesus. When he says, "I thirst," he's telling us, each one of us, come to me and let me love you. Let me love you. Let me shower my grace upon you. Let me forgive you of your sins. Let me free you. Let me liberate you from everything that holds me back. Because he's saying to us, there's always a way back to him. So as we continue upon our Lenten journey, let us always keep that in mind. Let's trust in God's merciful love, that he thirsts for us, wants to forgive our sins, and that when he does forgive our sins, he forgives, he forgets, and he envelops us in his love and mercy. Amen.